agree by saying amen. All right, let's start reading at verse 34. And when the Pharisees heard, he put Sadducees to silence. They were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, we said that as born-again believers, we are under a new law. And it's called the law of love. The law of love. It is, in fact, a new law. Now, the tendency to believe or to think right away is that the law doesn't exist anymore. Well, let's look at it like this. God never changes. Aren't you glad that you don't wake up one morning and the sun is coming up from the other side of the world? Now, he doesn't change. So what he made is when he codified or wrote the laws down and delivered the laws by the lawgiver, we call it Moses, that these were not new things God thought of. These were things that were already a part of God. In other words, before he wrote it down, it was a part of the culture of his kingdom, that thou shalt not commit adultery. That was there before he wrote it. He just wrote it. But now when Jesus came, he fulfilled the law, and now we're in the new law called the law of love. However, did God change? No, he didn't. He still says you don't commit adultery. See, people have this with tithing. Well, we're under grace, brother. Tithing passed away with the law. First of all, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Sometimes I get a little emotional on that. First of all, the first tither that we see that's plain. Now, I believe Adam tithed when he told Adam, don't eat of that tree. God preserved something for himself. But the first place we see it actually brought out is a time of God dealing with Abraham. You remember? Genesis chapter 14, when he came back with the spoil, and he gave Melchizedek tithe of all. There's only one mention of Melchizedek right there. But it's almost three chapters in Hebrew about Melchizedek. Because he's a type of high priest. And we are to tie to the high priest of our days, who is Jesus. Nothing went away. God doesn't change. There are benefits to the tie. He's not trying to do something for him. He's trying to do something for you. Well, in a way, he's trying to do something for him. But he's trying to do something for you because he said he'll open the windows of heaven. Now, just do a study of windows of heaven opening. And you'll see that when the windows of heaven open, something happens. The first place you saw it is in the time of Noah. And the windows of heaven opened and the earth flooded. It was so much water till the earth couldn't hold it. But next thing you see, the windows of heaven open, and the next thing you know is manna came out. So the windows of heaven get open, provisions come. Another place you see the windows of heaven open, all of a sudden, vision came through. In Peter's life, he's laying down on the housetop. The windows of heaven are open. All of a sudden, heaven opened, and he got an open vision. So some of y'all need to get the windows open so you can get the vision for God for your life so you can do what God's called you to do. Hosea said it like this: my people are destroyed for the lack of. He didn't say you don't have knowledge. He said you don't have enough. So that's my job. I'm here to teach you what you don't know. So don't, when I go down a road that you've never been down before, don't get up and get mad at me. Just come on down the road. And you'll understand it better by and by. Very good, very good. Okay, so in this, we're under commandment to love. And he said, first, love God, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that includes us obeying God. So God has a mission for us. He has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. And he's placed you in this earth at this time because there is a plan that God wants to fulfill. And guaranteed, it's a plan of him using you to serve humanity. So now, as we look at this, I'm just going to kind of cover a few points. That as you go into those places, temptation may come. And Jesus was tempted. Now, I don't think these temptations are just, you know, some light something. The enemy knows he's got a complete file on us. He knows what you like. Know what you like. You like turtles. But anyway, so he knows what you like. So my point to you is that these are valid temptations. When he tempted Jesus, he tempted him in a valid way. So now, as we go into the world, he says he's going to send us as sheep among what? Wolves. All right? But understand, he said, lo, I'm what? With you. Even to the end of the earth. So he's sending us in there. Now, what are we going to do in that world system? You and I, as an army of believers, we're going to establish the kingdom of God everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. The principles of darkness that are already in there, lack of integrity, lying, cheating, adultery, so forth and so on, all these things are in there. Anger, fighting, or whatever have you. They're already in there. Now, we're going to bring some higher principles. And with the higher principles are more powerful than the principles that are low. Light is more powerful than what? Darkness. When the darkness, light comes in, Jesus said, God said, let there be light, darkness got out of there. So I'm just saying, it may seem like the principles of love are weaker, but they're actually stronger. Say amen to that. Amen. And all these principles that God is going to teach you in going into the world is going to use you to convert people and things in this world according to God's holy word. Now, as you go in there, grace keeps you. Grace keeps you. It's something that works in empowerment that works through the heart that can actually keep you in a way that God wants you to be or to serve or whatever have you. And love can hold you. Let's look at the scripture. It's found in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. He says, that I commend thee to God and to the word of his grace. This is Paul talking now. And this word of his grace that is able to build you up and do what? Give you an inheritance among all them that are what? Sanctified. So the word of his grace that is able to build you up. So this grace that he's going to give you. Somebody says, well, grace means you can do anything. That is not grace. That is not going to get it twisted. It is grace is God's ability to work for you, to enable you to do things that normally you aren't able to do, even though you don't deserve it. That's the grace of God. Well, that's my own definition. Praise God. Well, you can't prove me wrong, so that's what it is. All right, now, let me just cover some things now. I'm going into this. So now, in this, like I said, we're under a new law. And that, by the way, if you want to look at the heavens being brass, you can look at Deuteronomy chapter 20. I covered that last time. I'm not going to cover that now, but let's go. So how are we going to live is by faith. We're going to live by faith. Now, faith is the only way that you can live in this new economy, in this new order of living called the kingdom of God. Faith is the only way you can live and be successful, okay? For you to be aggressive, for you to move forward, for you to do things that God wants you to do, faith is the only way that you, that only way that can keep the devil from stopping you. Faith is. Now, how are you supposed to live? By faith. Say by faith. It says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. It says it in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. It says it in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. The just shall live by what? Faith. All right. Now, faith is the way you live. It's the way you make a living. By faith. If I'm a carpenter, I'm going to make my living by this hammer, by this saw. If I'm a mechanic, I'm going to make my living by this wrench. But if I'm a believer, I'm going to make my living, come on, by faith. I want you to get that. All right? Now, as we look at this, you are coming in with light. And the Bible says over in Matthew chapter 5 and verse, 5 and verse 13. He said, you are the light, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world, so forth. Look what he said in verse 14. For you are the light of the world. A city that is hid on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, and put it on a bushel, but on the candlestick. And it giveth light to all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before who? Men, that they may see your what? Underline works. Sometimes we try to beat people up with the Bible. But it seems to me that each time I saw people get converted, it's because people saw something. Come on now, stay with me. Stay with me. Now, well, I got to get into this. Ooh, man. Okay. I'm trying to get all my stuff together because I might have to say it and run out. You know what I mean? All right. Now. If I have faith and a clear sense of destiny, then nothing can stop me. If I have faith and a clear sense of destiny, nothing can stop me. Now, I'm on assignment. I'm from God, and God's sending me to this company, or God's sending me to this country. And wherever He's sending me, I'm loaded. God has something inside of me that you can't even measure. And that as I'm going into these places, I'm going to shift the atmosphere in these places. Without them even being aware of it, things are going to start shifting. Are you with me here? So I'm going to bring the glory of God into the places that God is going to send me. Now look what he says over in Matthew's Gospel chapter 12 and verse 35. Now what I want you to do is see this, because this cannot stop me is a key to this. A good man out of the what? Good treasure of the heart brings forth what? Good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what? Evil things. So where, now that verse, where are my things coming from? My heart. I got it? So whatever's going to be manifested out in my life is going to come from the inside of me. Now, I want you to see the verse now. I want you to see it because I came here with $200. Am I right about it? But I was loaded. See, I'm loaded. So nobody can stop me. Well, Pastor, you know, they really don't want you to buy that shopping mall because they don't want a black person to have that. So what? A good man out of the good deposit of the heart. Come on now. Brings forth, come on, good thing. See, they can't stop you. Now, I'm just using that for example. Don't get mad at people, because it's not the people. It's the devil that didn't want us to have the shopping mall. My point to you is, it doesn't make any difference whether you give something for the airplane or not. A good man, come on, out of the good, see, when you got that going for you, you don't blame nobody. They're not getting this whole blaming thing. And when you get that way, all of a sudden, things that's supposed to flow stop flowing. Because you drop back in the flesh. I'm not saying that people are not guilty of doing things and so forth. And true enough, justice needs to take place. And we're going to talk about that later. But my point to you is that now all of a sudden, I'm mad at people. Come on now. The love has gone aside. I've been tempted and I got mad. Now I'm hating on somebody. Now how can you witness the folks you hate? Come on now. Part of my job is to let my light so shine. No, am I right about it? So I'm just saying, don't understand the enemy comes and he tries to tempt us. He tries to get us so that we'll lose sight of the mission that God has for us. But I'm saying you are loaded with some stuff. And as you're loaded with it, each time I see Jesus and they start following him, it looks like they were converted because they saw what he did. Now, why am I saying that? Because I think that sometimes what's happened in the church is the standards have dropped. Come on, we have come and now it's a social hour. We're not looking for a social hour. We're looking for soldiers. We're looking for people who can be dispersed into different places that can convert whole cities. Are y'all with me here? And I'm saying that this light is going to push back darkness. There's no way that darkness can handle light. You come in there and you bring the word of God, and one of the attributes of the word is it brings light. The entrance of my word giveth light. And as you speak that word, as you declare that word, something's got to change. I said something's got to change. Now, it may not look like anything is changing right away, but you walk by what? Faith and not by sight. You go in that place and you just mutter yourself. You just kind of think to yourself, praise God. Thank God that Jesus is in this place and so forth. You don't need to beat anybody up. Just be who you are. Follow the Holy Ghost. Now, as also God will use you in performance. There was a dear sister, I talked to her last night. She said, Pastor, let me tell you what God did for me. She said, now, I was going to school. She was going to one of the big universities, she was on a PhD program in physics and civil engineering. And she said, you know, Pastor, I made 4 points all in every class. I mean, even in some of the math classes, she said, I'm making 4 points. She said, but she said, Pastor, I would pray in the spirit 5 minutes in the morning before I went to school. And when I went and took the exam, God would talk to me like I'm talking to you right now. I mean, she said, took all the toil out of my school existence. I ended up with all these grades, all these high. She said, I was so embarrassed, I didn't know what to tell him. They'd say, well, how are you doing? She said, he'd say, who made the highest grade? She said, I would be ashamed to lift my hand up. I was lifting my hand up so much until I just kept my hand to myself. I'm not saying keep your hand to yourself. I'm just saying when he sends you somewhere, he's going to anoint you that you can do what he's called you to do. And it's going to show that you're going to be distinguished from anybody else in that place. Say amen to that. Amen. All right. Now, as we go on here, let's say what we have to do before we renew our environments is we've got to renew our what? Our minds. Let's go to Romans, please. And over in Romans, oh, have mercy. Romans chapter 12. Are you with me here? He said in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, verse 1, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what kind of sacrifice? Holy sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Next verse, please. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by what? The renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that what? Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The trick of Satan is to get you and I to leave our dependence on the one who sent us. Now that's a trick. The enemy is trying to get God out of what? Everything. Out of education, come on. Out of media, come on. Out of politics, get him out of everything. Why? Because he knows only with God do all things become possible. And so we've got to stay with God, no matter what it looks like, because it's going to be God that's going to get us over. He's not looking for you to compete with them. He's looking for you to dominate them. And I'm not saying try to make somebody little or small, but let your light shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. They want to know what you've got. Say amen to that. So this renewing of the mind. Now what has happened? Unbelief. What? Unbelief is all around. Now that's Satan's end game. Satan's end game with his terrorists is not terror. It's not fear. It is unbelief. Because unbelief, you can't cast that out. You're going to have to teach that out. And look what it says here. Glory to God. Are y'all with me? All right. Look what he says. I'm still going somewhere. Just stay with me now. So he says over in Hebrews, and Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, let us therefore fear, fear means respect, lest a promise being left you of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Watch this. For unto us was a gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not what? Profit them, not being mixed with what? Faith in them that heard it. So it's amazing what people are preaching today. I'm about to say something here. And you got, you know, put your feelings in your pockets, because I don't have time for this. There are sermons being preached that feed unbelief. Now let me show you one. Go to Numbers chapter 13, please. And in Numbers chapter 13, you know the story. They came back from spying out the land. And these were 12 leaders. Let me call them 12 preachers. So they came back to the congregation. So they're going to tell what went on. And they start talking about how the grapes and brought back samples of them and so forth and so on. And look at verse 31. Let's start at verse 30. But Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are what? Well able to do what? Well able to overcome it. Now, when he says well able, he is saying, let's go in there. Because if we've got faith, faith is going to shift the battle. Faith will shift the battle from your hands, come on, to God. Whether you're taking an exam, whether you're doing an interview, come on, whether you're vying for a contract, faith is going to shift the battle for you. And so as I go in here, I'm talking about changing the world now. As I go in here, so look what it said next. Verse 31, but the men who went up with him said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are what? They're, come on, say it. They're stronger than we. Was that true?
No.
Was that a fact?
Yes.
It was a fact. But it wasn't what?
True.
Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 says this, glory to God. But the, Romans 3, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Next verse. But, next verse, please, glory to God. God forbid, yea, let, I'm going to say it again, yea, let, one more time, yea, let God be true, and so if you get a fact that doesn't agree with God's truth, let that be a lie and God be
true.
Got it? I didn't say the X-ray didn't say that. The X-ray may have said what it said, but it is a fact. And God's word if you believe God's word, his faith in God's word is the most powerful force in the earth. One more time. Faith in God's word is the most powerful force in the earth. It will move a mountain as quick as it will move cancer. All you need to do is get faith, because you're going into a place where the devil does not want you to go. He does not want you to eliminate his darkness, but you have been sent on the orders of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going into a place where the devil will try to attach something to your body, and you got to understand, even though the physician said this, or the professional said this, or the mama said this, God said, let God and every man. Now, I'm going to tell you what happened when Caleb and Joshua preached that. What do you think happened to them after they preached the truth? What do you think happened to them? They lined them up and tried to stone them. But God protected them. Why? Because that's another one of your provisions. No weapon formed. Now, what am I saying to you? There's a dividing coming now. We're seeing it now. All of a sudden, you're being able to see light and darkness clearer and clearer and clearer. And the straddle of fence, you're going pretty soon, you're not going to be able to straddle it anymore. You're going to either have to come on, one side or get on the other. And I'm telling you what side you ought to get on. The winning side. I don't know about you, but I'm on the winning team. Praise God. This thing is about to get so powerful. Now, I'm just saying that it doesn't make any difference how it looks. So let's say you go in there and you're supposed to be protected from hurt, harm, danger, and accidents. Got it? But let's say Satan kind of blindsides. And all of a sudden, boom, you get hit with something. Well, don't get all bent out of shape. Because Job got hit with something. Come on, Job. Job was an upright man. He was serving God and so forth. But notice what happened. Next thing you know, Satan closed in on him. And in chapter 2 of Job, put it up there, please. Over in chapter 2 of Job, so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Don't tell me by you serving God that the enemy won't try to come in and put something on you. Say amen.
Amen.
This was an upright man, but what happened is his tongue got in the way. Why? His thinking got wrong. He began to think wrong thoughts, and next thing the heads went down, Job, the enemy struck him, and now Job has got sickness over his body, all these bruises, all these things, pus running out everywhere. So what does Job do? Job said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. For the Lord giveth, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? He said, no, you're talking like a foolish woman. Over in Job chapter 13, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You see, you got to know that God is not giving up on you. Even though you may have missed it one time, get back up. The Bible says that a righteous man falls seven times and he'll get back up again. See, he wants you to finish your race. Say amen to that. Amen. Look what he says in Job chapter 33. Glory to God. In Job chapter 33, verse 25, his flesh shall be fresher than a child's, and he shall return to the days of his youth. Now, I went over in 2 Kings chapter 5, and I saw where that thing happened. There was a man named Naaman, who was a king, who was a captain in the king's army of Syria. But he had a problem. He had leprosy. It was really spreading, and he began to get disgraced. And so what is he doing now? He goes to the king. The king said, well, there's a prophet down there. Go down there and see him. Tell him I sent you. See, can he do something for him? So he goes down there to the prophet. And the prophet, you know, God told me about my name. He said, your name is William Samuel Winston. I said, is it? He said, yeah. He said, William means protector. And that's true. That's the pastor side. And then Samuel means prophet. He said, that's the prophet side. And Winston is your marketplace name. Glory to God. I said, go ahead. But that's a little side trip. But anyway, go down there and see that prophet. He said, that prophet will do something for you. He went out, see the prophet, pulled up at the prophet's house with all his men. And he sat on his horse. And Gehazi, the servant, came out and said, what can I help you with? He said, I need to see the man of God. He said, what do you want to see him for? Well, I need him to tend to some business for me. Right, right. And he went to see the man of God. Said, hey, there's a captain out there I want to see. He said, oh, just go tell him to dip seven times in poop. I'm doing something right now. One word from God. Come on, one word from the prophet. I said, you got to hear the word of the prophet. You got to say, wait a minute, let God be true. So what did he do? He turned around and said, he didn't come out to see me himself. As big a dignitary as I am, I'm out of here. Start riding and the servant was running beside him. I could see it now. Master, wait a minute, master. If he had told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done that? He said, well, I guess I would have. He said, why don't you go and dip? Right. You know, I'm just saying that myself, you know. And what did he do? He went back to that pool and dipped.
Yes, sir.
Come on now. This is not reasonable. Come on, help me now. This is not reasonable. See, human reason tries to negate faith. And the more you reason, the less faith you're going to have. So you got to take God at his word. So he dipped one time, came up. Second time came, now all the men looking. And some of them probably snickered. Man, look at the boss man. He came up the seventh time, and his skin, put it up there on that scripture, please, was like a little child. What am I telling you? I'm telling you, you are about to see miracles on another level. Do you believe that? See, somebody's got to believe this, because God wants a big difference between you and the rest of the world. Not small difference. One that they cannot deny. So what happened to Job? Job chapter 42. God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Maybe some revelation in that. Maybe you need to pray for somebody you can't stand. Oh. Look at Mark. Mark chapter 3. This is when a man, he says he entered, Jesus entered into the synagogue, and there was a man which had a withered hand. Watch this now. And they watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day or that they might accuse him. They weren't concerned about the man. They were trying to catch Jesus. See, they're trying to catch you. They're trying to stop you. And he said unto the man who had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to evil? Do evil. To save the life or to kill? But they held their peace. And Jesus, when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was what? Restored. Keep going. You see what God is doing? Watch this. He's erasing all traces that Satan has been in your life. That's what's going to happen in 2016. All traces. Let's do another trace. It's Mark chapter 5. Here's a man that was out of his mind. Well, naked, unclothed. He's going around and so forth and so on. In Mark chapter 5, you have that scripture? He said, in Mark chapter 5, and they that fed the swine fled and told the city in the country, and they went out to see what was done. Jesus got to the man. And they came to Jesus to see that was possessed with the devil, glory to God, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his what kind of mind? Right mind. And they were afraid. Right mind. I'm talking about somebody, one of your kids come in the house with perverted thinking. Not in there. Right mind.
Right.
I'm talking about God can put them back in there. Right mind. Well, why? What has happened? Hadn't been preached.
Amen.
Romans chapter 10, verse 12. I'll start there. He said this. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Well, how can they call on him who've they not believed? And how can they believe on him who've they not heard? Watch this. How can they hear without a who?
Preacher.
And how shall they preach except he be sent? I've been sent.
Amen. Yes, you have.
And I'm telling you,
yes, you have.
That God is with you.
Yes. Glory to God.
And with God,
come on,
all things are possible. You're about to see the glory of God.
Yes. Yes.
Cover this earth. You're about to see the last roundup.
Glory.
You're about to see God do things that people can no longer deny.
Glory to God.
He said in one of the scriptures, I'm going to do things that you won't even believe.
Yes.
Glory
yes.
to God. I'm ready for it.
Yes. Yes.
I said, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for it.
Yes.
Now what has happened? We've let the standards fall.
Yes. Right.
That's okay if you have to go here, and go there, and go to a physician to get this, and get a new knee there. But God got knees in heaven.
Yes.
God's got new lungs in heaven.
Come on.
That in these last days,
yes,
going to be distributed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Watch this. With no surgical knife.
That's right.
See? Yeah. People say, I don't know about that. Don't know about it.
Yeah.
It's right in the scriptures.
Yeah,
that's right. You got it.
If he can heal your skin,
yeah.
Can't he heal your heart?
Yeah.
And it doesn't take him centuries to make it happen.
That's right.
He can do it overnight. Now, I want you to enter into 2016 with supernatural on your mind. No longer the natural. You don't want to see it. You want to see the supernatural. You want the best of God. Say amen.
Amen.
And you're going to start decreeing a thing, and it's going to start coming to pass. So watch your mouth. God's going to give you what you speak and what you say, because you're going to be listening to people like me, and we're going to tell you that all things are possible, and you're going to face your worst circumstances and say, let us go up at once, for we are well able to overcome it. Now give God praise and receive that. I said receive. Jesus said, the works that I did shall you do also, and what?
Greater works.
So get ready for some greater works.
Amen.
I said greater works.
Yes, sir.
I saw where Jesus raised a man from the dead that's been dead 4 days and stinking.
Amen.
But guess what? Greater works are coming down. Give God one more praise and receive it. Watch this. Give God one more praise and receive praise. Come on, we got to receive this, man. We got to receive it. Glory to God. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Give God one more praise and receive it. Receive. I said receive. Glory to God. Let God be what?
True.
And let every man be a what?
Liar.
You take that word, you get it down in your spirit, and whatever the devil tries to put on you, your body, your kids, your marriage, whatever, your job, whatever it is, you get the word of God and say, wait a minute, God said, just like Jesus told the devil, and it is written, and you start saying what is written, and God will transfer what's already in heaven down and superimpose it on your situation, then you'll see a miracle take place, and people will say, how did you do that? You say, his name is Jesus. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Glory to God. Give God one more praise. I just feel this. One more praise. One more praise. We're stirring up the atmosphere. Glory to God. Take your seats. Now, it might be somebody here, and in your life, you know you're not right with Jesus. But guess what? The good news is that you can get right.